Good morning, everybody. I thought this morning that we'd go fishing. So I've set the weather up accordingly. Nigel's been. So are you coming with me? You'll see how I feel. Lock the doors, Joy, they're not getting out. But we're going to think about how Jesus calls us. And so as we pray, Jesus calls us to praise and prayer, to song and silence. Jesus calls us to worship. Jesus calls us to hearing and healing, to service and solidarity. Jesus calls us to love. Jesus calls us to advocacy and action, to protest and provision. Jesus calls us to justice. So let us hear the call of Christ. Let us worship together with joy. Amen. And so we'll sing number 37, As the Deer Pants for the Water. Let's come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. And Lord, as we've just sung those words to you, we come because we long to worship you. Lord, we have come to praise and thank you for all that you mean to each one of us. We thank you for this new day, the day that you have made. We thank you for the beauty of your creation. We thank you for the signs of spring as the flowers start to shoot through. But Lord, we come to thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, our friend, our brother, our Saviour. We praise you for the way that he trusted you and your love completely. He was so absolutely certain of your love that he was ready to die on the cross for us in our place. We thank you that you led him through death to resurrection. And Lord, as we start the Lenten period next week, help us to reflect more and more on that great love that you show to us through Jesus Christ, your Son. Lord, we thank you for those around us whose lives show us that their trust in you is real. We thank you, Lord, that we have a reason to worship, a reason to praise, that Jesus isn't just a name in the Bible, but he is the one and only living Lord. Lord, may we be bold enough to proclaim that. We thank you that we can trust him with every part of our lives, that he isn't just found in these four walls, but that he is with us always and everywhere. When we are at home, when we are doing the ordinary, when we are strong and healthy, but also, Lord, when our strength feels like it's slipping away. When we are happy and when life is good, or sometimes when our best plans have gone so wrong. We thank you, Lord, that you are there, that you are with us. Lord, we thank you more than anything that when we deliberately choose to please ourselves, to do our own thing, to go our own way. Thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for coming to meet us with love and forgiveness. As we hear your word proclaimed this morning to each one of us, speak to us, make yourself known to us. Lord, as we think this morning about all our brothers and sisters worldwide worshipping, some have already worshipped, some will be coming to worship later. We just pray for ourselves and believers everywhere that during these times of fear and anxiety that we may have a clear vision of your purpose for our lives and for the life of your church worldwide, but also here. May we have courage and strength and determination to allow nothing to distract us from your voice and your call. Lord, we pray for those that are weak, that are overwhelmed by grief, for those that are broken by violence, crushed by injustice, damaged by abuse and weakened by illness. Lord, fill each one of us with the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may take that power to heal and transform as you have called us to do. Lord, help us to continue to stand firm on your word and to go on standing. Lord, we bring our prayers to you, the one who came, who comes, and will come again, Christ our Lord. Amen. And so we'll say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So we're continuing worship as we sing number 760, Trust and Obey. said that we would continue our journey through Matthew. And as I was just singing that hymn, I often say to you, I sing some of these hymns to myself when I'm preparing the preach. And the last sort of few words of the last verse, what he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. And it just reminded me of the calling of the first disciples. And if you remember when we started this journey through Matthew 4, we sang, Dear Lord and Father of mankind. And it said, in simple trust, like theirs who heard, beside the Syrian sea. And so, as I said at the time, it encapsulates the picture of Jesus walking across the shores and to the fishermen and to the call that they received. So as I said at the start, we're going fishing and we're going back to the Sea of Galilee. And so I'll ask Diana if she'll give us our reading. Go for it.
Reading is Matthew 4:18-22. It's from page 968. Jesus calls his first disciples. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him.
We understand from John's gospel that Jesus had met Peter and Andrew before this moment. Andrew at least had spent at least a day with Jesus, and Jesus had changed Simon's name to Peter. Before introducing Peter to Jesus, Andrew had told his brother, "We have found the Messiah." Their understanding that Jesus was the long-promised Christ, the one who would save Israel and bring the kingdom of heaven to earth, may explain why they obeyed Jesus so quickly from our reading this morning. But I still think that their faith and their quick action is amazing, just to leave everything behind and follow Jesus. He had seen the brothers at work. They were in the middle of throwing a net into the Sea of Galilee. We don't have recorded any small talk or any explanation. Jesus commanded them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, when you read that, you might think, well, that's a bit weird. But Peter and Andrew were expert fishermen, and in one sentence, Jesus was already helping them to understand the mission that he would give to them. And so as we think about that, we'll sing our next hymn, which is number 272. Again, an invitation requires a response. And as we sing, think about who are we following? Can we sing these words and mean them? I have decided to follow Jesus. Thank you. got the rest of the sermon to get your breath back. You might have thought to yourself, well, that would make a really good closing hymn. But I want us to really think about what it means to follow Jesus. So let's pray. Father God, thank you that we can come and, as we've already done, worshipped and prayed and heard your word. But Lord, you want to speak into each of our hearts. And so, Lord, as we hear your word to us this morning, open our hearts, open our ears. May we put into action the words that you would lay on our hearts. Amen. So, has anyone ever been fishing?
Yeah?
Crab fishing? Yeah, I'll count that. Yes? Yeah? Expert fisherman? Was. Did you enjoy it? Yeah? Anyone else? I heard a big yes. Yeah? Fisherman here? Do you still? Oh, once. A 9-pound skate. Ooh. Anton? You used to go fishing? Deep sea fishing. Wow. Oh, can you see we're going up? Crab fishing. Used to. Once. Deep sea fishing. Right, top that, somebody. You've got a boat. What do you fish at the pastures, may I ask? Not fish. Not fish. We'll go back. Okay. Okay. You might want to get a new boat.
Mackerel fishing.
Yeah. I used to go fishing with my uncle. He used to do fishing in the lake. He'd fish. I'd read my book. But the one thing I did find was it was very relaxing for both of us because we didn't need to talk, which is always good for me. And yeah, he was quite successful. But I always thought to myself that, you know, and reading this passage that, you know, if it was left to me, then we wouldn't have caught very much at all. But if you remember a few weeks ago when we were thinking about the verses, this passage and the verses before it, I explained how I used to use road signs, signposts with the girls to highlight biblical text. That was your test. Your highway code test. You know, I said to you, what is a circle? And you told me it was a command. Triangle were warnings and cautions, and rectangles were information. Do you remember? Yeah, some of you are going, no, I've been to sleep. Yeah, for those of you that drove here, pay more attention when you drive back. And I wish, as I said at the time, that some of these passages had a road sign next to it, you know, so I could think to myself, okay, is that a command or is it a warning? But I always remembered when I spoke on this passage with the girls, I always used the sign for a crossroad. Okay, we all know what the sign for a crossroad looks like. Okay, is it a circle, a triangle, or a rectangle? I heard a triangle. Yes, it's a triangle. I'm quite worried that there was a... Is it? So picture the triangle with the crossroad sign in the middle, yes? And can you see why I used that with the girls when we were talking about following Jesus? Because actually, the triangle is a warning and a caution. And you think, what? Following Jesus comes with warning? Absolutely, it does. As I've said to you before, it's actually easier not to be a Christian than it is to be one, because following Jesus comes with a warning, because it means that we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and walk in obedience to God's call. Whenever we find any mentions of following Jesus, of walking with the Lord, it's not an easy path to prosperity. It's the C word. It's a commitment involving warnings and costs and hardships. And Jesus was explicit that his followers would face trials and persecution and the need for daily self-denial. Wow. Feel happy now? So do you remember the first time that you answered Jesus' invitation to follow him? The enthusiasm when you first came to faith? Do you still carry that same enthusiasm? I would say probably not. Some of the time. Yes, some of the time. It gets tough, doesn't it? You know, when it's all brand spanking new, it's like, yay, let's do it. And then you get a bit weary because you get battered. Some can recall the time and the place. It's part of their story when we share the good news with our friends and our family. And we share Jesus' invitation because it's not just an invitation to us as individuals, it's an invitation that keeps inviting. I often get asked, why did I become a minister? I ask myself that question sometimes. And when? And people are amazed that I actually did something else before I became a minister and that I was an accountant. And it's like, really? And I'm like, yes, this is my first church. And, you know, when I give my story about my conversion and when I became a minister, I said it started when I said yes to God properly in my late teens. But what makes my story different to others is that I can't place a specific time or a series of events because I've been in church all my life. I've known Jesus all my life. But you have to say yes properly for God to be able to work in and through you. And so I always said, you know, I've always been there. I always sensed the connection, the relationship, and his presence. I can't put my finger exactly on it. However, I do know that there were events that led up to me finally saying yes. And yes, many times since. Because when Jesus takes you on a different direction in your life, you have to say, yes, I will follow with trust and obedience. I think that highlights one of the difficulties with today's gospel passage. It does sound, doesn't it, as if one day Jesus turns up and immediately they walk away from the old life and leave everything behind. That's how Matthew describes it for Peter and Andrew and James and John. And as I said, John's gospel records it slightly differently. But I believe for them that was true. I expect if I talk to some of you, that's how it happened for you. One minute you were doing one thing and the next minute you were following Jesus. And it's great that each of us can have different ways of answering the call to follow him. And perhaps over a cuppa later, you might want to share that experience. Because sometimes we don't realize we've actually said yes until we listen to other people's stories. Some would tell a story of a bit of a struggle, a bit of a back and forth, like some of the Old Testament characters that we read in the Bible. But we have to think about when we say yes, how does any relationship begin and continue and grow? There's no wrong or right way. Probably many different ways of being called and finding Jesus. And it's unique and personal to each one of us, but it is part of our story. The important thing is, this morning, is that it happened and it continues to happen. Our entire life is a conversion, that being transformed into the likeness of Jesus. Repeatedly, Jesus comes to us saying, "Follow me." Hence the crossroads sign. It not only symbolizes the cross of Christ, but also the opportunity to go our way or Jesus' way. When we come to crossroads in our lives, which way do we go? Do we take the easy way or the hard way? Because as I said, there is a warning attached to the invitation. Following Jesus doesn't happen in the abstract, in the idea or the concept, but in the context of all of our circumstances and the relationships of our lives. Our relationship with Jesus is grounded and experienced in the people and the events of our lives and the world. So it was for the first disciples. We see that throughout the rest of Matthew's account of the gospel, he not only describes the life and ministry of Jesus, but the ongoing shaping and forming of his first disciples' lives. That transformation happened in Jesus' teaching of the Beatitudes, which follow on soon after this. Transformation happens in his healing ministry, in his teaching, in his miracles, in the raw emotion of his disciples' reality and honesty. Peter, that would follow Jesus to the death and then runs away. And ultimately, we see their transformation in Jesus' crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, and in the coming of the Holy Spirit, which we'll be looking at over these next weeks through our Lent studies and worship starting on Friday, as we think about wanting to be with Jesus. Every one of these moments echo with Jesus' words, "Follow me." Every one of them is as much as a turning point in the lives of those first disciples, as was the day that Jesus first saw them by the Sea of Galilee. Crossroads always resound with the invitation to follow Jesus. They are the intersection of our lives and his life. That's what's happening in today's gospel. We hear it in Jesus' words. He says two things: repent and follow me. And both evoke a change of direction. As I said 2 weeks ago, so often we hear the word repent and think, oh no, someone's been bad. I've been bad. I've done something wrong. Someone better change their ways. It can mean that, but it sometimes needs to be a focus, but also so much more than that. Because as I said a few weeks ago, repentance is more than just a moral change. It's a life change. It's a turning point. We look in a different direction. We see with new eyes. We establish new priorities. We travel a new road. We, as the phrase goes, let go and let God. So as I said, maybe repentance is less about where we've been and more about where we're going. Maybe it's less about what we've done or left undone and more about who we are becoming. What if that was how we understood and practiced repentance? Repent not because you're bad, but because you're worth it. And God has great plans for those who will follow him. The turning points, the crossroads of our lives, bring us face to face with Jesus, who comes in so many ways. They come sometimes in the planned, the worked, and the hoped for. Other times they are completely unexpected and take us by surprise. I love standing here and saying, I've been surprised by God. And you're like, you? Surprised by God? Love it. God surprises us all the time. Just as we think we got life sorted, change of direction. Sometimes they bring us joy and happiness. Other times we're filled with sorrow and loss. Sometimes they affirm everything that we've thought and believed. Other times we're left confused and not knowing what to believe. And I suspect each of us have experienced some or all of those and more in the crossroads of our own lives. If you think about them, you can do it now while I'm chatting, or you can think about it later. when your life was turned around. We have the major life events, don't we, of births, deaths, marriages, ill health. That sets a different course for our lives sometimes. The times when we started out on our own. The times when our words or actions that hurt another and forever change the relationship. The times when we've had to make job decisions. All the times when we've accomplished something that was significant and meaningful. Or we finally discover the passion that excites you. That fishing trip that you got planned, Louise. A long-term dream that finally comes true. Make your own list. Think of those crossroads in your lives where you've asked for Jesus to guide you. Each of us could tell our own stories of our life's crossroads. But in Jesus' invitation, nonetheless, with each one, we see ourselves and others and the world differently. We think differently. We focus on different concerns. We ask different questions. And we move in different directions. Each turn comes with the opportunity and for the promise of Jesus to change our lives. That's what he did for the Peter and Andrew and James and John. He said, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men." That's what he does for us as well. He makes us more who we are truly meant to be. Do you recognize Jesus' intention in that verse? When we follow him, he teaches us to care about helping others as we come to know him too. That's what it's part of looking like and belonging to God's family and bringing other people into his family with us. Jesus' first words, "Follow me." And in his last words in the Gospel of Matthew, "Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations." Making disciples is a basic essential of what it means to be a disciple. And why I've always said while I'm here, my mission statement is being disciples, making disciples. In him and through him and with him, we begin to recognize our true selves, our true calling. This doesn't happen despite our life circumstances, but in and through our life's circumstances. That's where and how it happened for those first disciples. Their crossroads came in their ordinary, in their sameness. So let's look at our lakes and our boats and our nets, the circumstances of our lives. What is the crossroad that we face today? What's happening? What do we see? Maybe a place of repentance. Maybe something that we're refusing to acknowledge. Maybe something that we haven't been aware of until now as Jesus speaks into our hearts. Irrespective, it's there, and so is Jesus, inviting, calling, desiring, pursuing each one of us. He stands there saying, "Follow me, I have chosen you." While I was preparing this, a quote popped up on one of my feeds. It said, "Jesus never said following him would be easy, but he did promise following him would be worth it." And I say amen to that. As I said during the preach, following Jesus isn't always easy. And I was talking a few weeks ago about the Open Doors World Watch List, where unfortunately North Korea is once again the hardest place in the world to follow Jesus. So if you are committed to pray for the persecuted church, I have some World Watch Lists here, lists the 50 countries and 10 specifically to pray for. If you are committed, please take one. We can get some more. But be moved and committed to pray for our sisters and brothers in Christ, because God makes the impossible possible. Let's pray. The invitation is given to every person by Jesus Christ. Come to me, follow me, be my disciples. We come to this place, to this time, at the invitation of Jesus. In the name of Christ, we accept the invitation to discipleship. In the name of Christ, as his disciples, we worship and praise God. In the midst of a world where cruelty abounds, we proclaim the God of compassion. In the midst of despair that threatens to follow up whole lives and whole peoples, we proclaim the God of hope. In the midst of indifference and apathy, we proclaim the God of love. And so we commit to carry on worshiping together and sharing our witness of God's living presence in the world. Amen. So our final hymn isn't in the hymn book, hence no number, but it is on the screen. It's called The Summons, Will You Come and Follow Me If I But Call Your Name. Let's pray. As you go out into the world, follow me. At home with your household, follow me. In the ordinary, follow me. In everything that you do this week, follow me. And as you do, remember that Jesus is with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen.